This episode of Hunger for Hawks Talk podcast brought to you by DraftKings. Now, you've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how paydays can come by every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Well, this week is jam-packed with action, ranging from hockey to basketball to golf. And DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front row seat to all of the action. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, and then sit back and watch your points pile up. It's couch GM at its best. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. I hope you guys made some bets on that Kamaru Usman fight last night. Man, what a performance. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. New episode of Hungry for Hawks Top Podcast coming at you with Dylan Terry and Grant Chung on the other side.
Handing on to Kane again. Lots of head fakes there trying to shake team in it. Threw one in front. Oh my, it rattled around and it kicked on back and it scored. We saw no light, we saw no signal, and we're not sure if they've sent a signal of a goal yet, but they are celebrating at the other end of the ice. What chaos!
Every team, everywhere, the Hot Podcast Network.
Blackhawks fans, welcome to episode 24 of Hungry for Hawks Talk podcast. I am your host, Grant Chung, and we finally have Dylan Terry back in the studio with us after, oh man, our schedules were just way off the map. We were kind of working opposite shifts, and of course, we know how hardworking Dylan Terry is. So thanks for jumping back on, Dylan. It's nice to see you again. How are we doing?
Yeah, dude, it's great to be back, man. It's seems like, well, it was last month, the last time I jumped on, but yeah, happy to be back and discuss some more Blackhawks, dude. I've been having withdrawals, not being able to discuss Hawks with anybody. So,
yes, sir. And yeah, we've been doing pretty well other than the, you know, the one slip up against the Detroit Red Wings. but, you know, we made up for that in spades in our last game, didn't we?
Yeah, dude, it was a nice birthday win to enjoy, dude. Scoring five goals in the third period, dude. It looked kind of rough the first couple periods. I mean, the Red Wings were kind of dominating play like we had the first matchup. But, yeah, the Hawks took it to them in the third period and were able to convert a boatload of chances and ultimately blew the game wide open. So, yeah, it was a fun game to watch. And can we just talk about how nice these reverse retros look on the ice?
Yeah,
man, dude, they look so nice.
Yeah. They're I really like those reverse. I really didn't like the alternates we had last year that were just like the full black and white, like no other color other than black and white. I didn't like that. Yep. I thought it kind of reminded me of like a prison uniform. That black white stripe thing. Was not a fan of it, but yeah, the reverse retros I am a big fan of. But yeah, I mean, how about your boy Nikita Zadorov starting it off?
About time he does something, man. I've been going on so many Twitter rants recently, it's not even funny.
Man, he picked the corner on that one. That was a nice goal. It came right down the chute. I don't know why the Detroit Red Wing guy was backing off, letting him have all that space, but came right in, just threw it right past Thomas Greiss. And man, everything was going past Greiss that night. Like, I was surprised that they actually put him in, because considering how great Jonathan Bernier had been playing in the last game against us and the game before, even when we shut them out, he was making a lot of big saves for them to keep it at 2-0. So surprising move by the Red Wings there to put in Thomas Greiss. But yeah, everything was going off him. Far side, short side, nothing was, he wasn't making any of the saves. The posts were not his friends that night. And then of course, oh my goodness, Patrick Kane with his 400th goal just gives you the old drag and curl. Just, oh man, what a beautiful goal by Showtime.
Yeah, dude. I mean, just puts that defender right on his belly, back, whatever you want to call it, and just typical Kane just picks the near post corner, had Greiss fooled completely, had him down and out, and yeah, it was a nice accomplishment to see for Patty Kane, and I think next week or so we're going to be seeing another accomplishment from Kaner, assuming he doesn't get hurt. I believe he's coming up on 1,000 games. I think he's 996, 997 right now. That's going to be another accomplishment coming up for good old Kaner next week. So
996, four more games. That should put us against the Florida Panthers, I believe, because we're playing three straight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is going to be a test and a half. But of course, we'll jump into that. I just want to talk real quick because, I mean, just what a performance all around. By all our players and our rookies specifically. I mean, Pugh Suter got another goal, another assist, a 2-point night for him. And just a snipe on that goal for him, picked it far side and off the post and in. Beautiful, beautiful goals. And Brandon Hagel, I mean, it was kind of like a no, you know, the goal was kind of just up there, but because it was the seventh goal by Kubalik there. But just, you know, the dogged determination to get that puck. Right. He kind of lost the battle along the boards, didn't give up, went right after the guy, located the puck, fought for it, got it. And then, man, showed some hands, throwing it over to attacking the defenseman, entering the zone, allowing Kubalik to go further out. And just, you know, what a pass towards to Dominic Kubalik. And he just buries it. Great game by just all around. I mean, just this team has been such a surprise. And, you know, that's something that I want to talk about because, you know, we've mentioned this many times. Nobody predicted this, right? We are fourth in the Central, you know, nobody predicted that we'd be anywhere close to a playoff spot. And lo and behold, we are, we're in a playoff spot right now. So, just a correction there. Patrick Kane's 1,000th game, assuming that he stays healthy and plays in all four games of in next four upcoming games, will be against Dallas on the 9th of March. You know, we talked about this before. The month of March is going to be a real tape measure month, I guess, a measuring stick month, because we're gonna it's gonna determine what kind of team the Blackhawks are, and that is something that I want your thoughts on, Dylan Terry. You know, before we get there, we just need to take a quick break because speaking of the Detroit Red Wings, I mean, if you want to hear, we talked to Matt Klink and a couple weeks ago, and I'm sure you want to hear a little bit more about his woes of being a Detroit Red Wings fan. So tune into this and we will be right back in just a second.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
He's my brother Mike.
He's my brother Matt.
And we are the Brothers of Discussion, hosting Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas about your Detroit Red Wings finally have a hope.
In a season mired in tragedy and despair, we are here to be your audible Earl Grey, to bring joy, placidity, and perspective to one of the roughest eras in Red Wing history. We honor the past, find the positives in the present, I swear they're there, and paint the picture of what's to come in the winged wheel's future. Paul Woods here on the radio broadcast to your Detroit Red Wings, and I'm going to play games like Who's That?
Who's That? Come on. Pokemon.
Where Matt has to try and guess quotes pulled right out of context for Jeff Blashaw, and we gotta figure out who that Red Wing is.
Every episode, we put ourselves in the legendary shoes of Steve Yzerman and play Be the GM, finding ways to ice a competitive team while accumulating assets for the franchise's future. We also shoot the breeze, some of the great local and national voices in Red Wings hockey, including Ken Kell and Keith Gave, and Greg Wyshynski and Ryan Lambert.
Check us out every Monday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts.
And check us out live every Wednesday and Sunday for Red Wings reactions and live conversations with you on our YouTube channel, The Brothers of Discussion.
All right, welcome back. And Grant Chung, Dylan Terry here with you again. So Dylan, trade deadline is April 12th. Of this year. We know what kind of month March is going to be. We've got what? Let me just count them off here. 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 games against the Tampa Bay Lightning. 2 against Dallas. 4 against Florida. 2 against Nashville. 1 against Carolina in this month of March. The Blackhawks, like I said, are in a playoff position. What do you do if you're Stan Bowman?
I don't know. For right now, I'd hold pat. I wouldn't touch anything right now, considering the team is wicked overachieving what we expected to this season. About the only thing I would do right now is bring Nicholas Beaudin back in the lineup. I don't know why he got sent down to Rockford when, well, like I said earlier, I've been ranting pretty much every game about Zadorov and how terrible he has looked defensively. Yeah, he scored a goal the other night. Whoop-de-doo. Congrats. He scored a goal on one of his 900 shots he's had this season. How many hits has he missed this season? How many stupid penalties has he taken this season?
Yeah, Robbie Fabry and, for one.
Exactly. Case in point right there. So I'd get Beaudin back in the lineup. Maybe sit Zadorov a few games. But other than that, I mean, the team's clicking on all cylinders right now. I mean, we've gone 7-3, I think, in our last 10. And we actually, I was looking at the standings last night. We're in a comfortable playoff spot right now. I mean, Dallas is just, I don't know what's going on with them, but they have a record of, I think, 6-7-4 now. So they've like fallen off a cliff, dude. Like we actually, even though they do have some games in hand on us, but to see them fall to 6-7-4, dude, like they're below 500 now. After looking like one of the greatest hockey teams on earth the first week of the season that they played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if looking at the standings right now, I mean, there's not much that I would change to this lineup. I mean, we all saw Lankanen bounce back once he got a few games of rest. Subban came in, played relatively well, and then Lankanen, you throw him back in there, and he makes 40 saves and allows one goal. So I think had a save percentage of like 956. I think the last game that he suited up. So, I mean, I wouldn't touch anything right now if I was Stan Bowman other than maybe getting Jeremy Colleton to sit Zadorov for a few games because he's just looked atrocious on the blue line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Nikita Zadorov. Hey, man, guys play. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's they keep putting him out there 20 minutes a night, top 4 minutes. Still looks like a defensive pylon. I don't understand it. I mean, I really don't see the value of him being out there every night, especially when we got Nicholas Beaudin.
I know, dude. I just, when you go back and rewatch some of his shifts, I think it was, I can't remember if it was the second Columbus game or maybe it was the first game against Detroit. I can't remember which game it was. I was like, complaining to my dad the whole entire game because Zadorov just looked like he was giving no effort. Like, I think I posted on Twitter too. He looked like freaking Pierre-Luc Dubois Jr. out there, dude. Like, just skating around nonchalant, putting in no effort. There was a 50-50 puck that popped out near the boards. I can't remember what game it was. Zadorov just like sat there and watched it. And then he realized he's like, oh, yeah, I should get to that. Yeah. And then by that time, the opposing player beat him to it already, and they kept that puck in the zone. I'm pretty sure it was against Columbus, one of those games.
Yeah.
And they kept it in the zone, and then they just kept cycling it and cycling it, and eventually they ended up scoring a goal off of it, if I remember correctly. And just and then he's trying to stick handle on in his own zone when you're on the penalty kill. Dude, just clear the goddamn puck out. Like, oh, my God, dude. Just driving me nuts sitting there watching him. But yeah, I guess I'll get off my Nikita Zadorov for a minute because I'm just going to get amped up if I just sit here and keep talking about that. But
it's clear that you don't want Stan Bowman to consider Nikita Zadorov in his long-term plan. That's something that I'm hoping is not the case too, because, you know, just reading an article from Mark Lazarus and Scott Powers, Lazarus seems to think that Zadorov's agent will probably ask for something along the lines of $4 to $5 million per year on a new contract after this season, in which case he'll be a UFA, because he's seeing more time in the top four. He's seeing more usage and with 20 minutes a night. So that, in their opinion, deserves a pay raise. It does not, in my opinion. Obviously, in your opinion, it does not either.
Any other team, he's a third liner at best.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, except for some of the dumpster fires like Detroit and I don't even know, some of the other garbage teams, Ottawa. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Ottawa's got good defensive prospects too. So I wouldn't even put him on second line in Ottawa even.
Yeah.
Just, oh my God, dude, he's looked terrible.
Yeah. So there's a lot to consider here, right? Obviously, with the trades this season, the April 12th deadline, you know, if you make a trade, your player is probably going to have to quarantine for however many days that the state wants them to quarantine for, according to health and safety protocols. So you got to consider that. So maybe you'd be seeing more deals happening beforehand. On the other hand, you may not see a lot of deals because we know that this cap is probably going to stay flat for at least the next 3 years. So maybe GMs and owners, of course, are going to want to, you know, maybe not take on significant contracts because they don't know how much money they'll have to play with, which offers an intriguing thing, because like I said, this month of March is really going to determine where we're going to be at, whether we're actually a playoff contender or whether, you know, we should be selling the farm. Well, not the farm, but selling off our veterans and everything. Right now, I would say that I would love to see Matthias Janmark be re-signed. I would not like to see Nikita Zadorov re-signed. I'd like to bring Wallmark back. And of course, you know, you got to keep in mind that there should be new deals coming after next year for Kurashev and Highmore. And Pew Suter is also going to be needing a new contract after this year as well. But I guess this is all to say it's a delicate balance, right? Because if we're in a playoff position, you don't want to be getting rid of the guys like Janmark, who's on an expiring contract, Wallmark, or Soderberg, because Soderberg has been great for us so far on that top power play unit, even standing in front of the net. So what we could do is, because Jonathan Toews is still on the long-term injured reserve, Andrew Shaw is on the LTIR as well, Zach Smith is on the LTIR as well, that's about like $16 million that we can use at the cap, at the trade deadline, to play around with. We know Buffalo isn't doing so well right now. We know Taylor Hall is a little frustrated with his decision over the summer. How good would Taylor Hall look in a Chicago Blackhawks uniform?
I mean, I think you asked me that a while back, and I was like, yeah, you got a better chance of seeing hell freeze over. But I mean, now that you bring that up, I mean, realistically, that could happen now. And the Hawks need more. Well, they've had enough depth to get by this year, but if they bring in a guy like Taylor Hall, assuming that he can regain his scoring touch, I mean, he's only got one goal so far this season. He has been making plays pretty consistently. I think he's got like 12 or 13 assists or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's still producing offensively. So if he could regain his scoring touch too, I mean, that's another element that the Hawks could add to their offense and just make them that much better in the offensive zone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at this trade and, you know, for Buffalo at one point, you don't want to see him walk away at the end of the year for nothing. But at the same time, you want to get something for Taylor Hall. He hasn't been showing really anything this year of value, other than, you said, like you said, the playmaking abilities. He just seems out of sync in Buffalo. Him and Eichel haven't really been able to find their scoring prowess. I think it's just a culture in Buffalo. Like they're just, I don't know. They're just doomed for whatever reason. They can't seem to figure it out. But, you know, now that we've got Philip Kurashev and Pew Suter in the organization, I think Dylan Strome is expendable.
You read my mind, dude. You read my mind.
Like, could we ship, what a package of Dylan Strome plus, I don't know, another prospect maybe.
Dylan Strome, Alex Nylander back to Buffalo.
I'm sure every Hawks fan would love seeing Nylander ship back to Buffalo. I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. But, you know, maybe it would take, like, maybe we'd have to give up on a guy like, I really like Brandon Hagel, and I've been a fan of Philip Kurashev, but maybe we need to give one of those guys up. But, you know, maybe a package of Strome and Kurashev would be enough to pry Taylor Hall out of it, assuming that we're not asking Buffalo to retain any type of salary.
I was going to say, I would rather go draft picks on that route because, I mean, yeah, rather than give up one of those guys. I mean, Strome, I'm good with getting rid of him, assuming that Taze is going to come back next year and Kirby's going to come back. So that's our top two lines right there. You don't really need Strome. And Strome, like, he's shown in the past, if he's not on a line with, like, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taze, or, like, stud names, he's not going to produce. Yeah. I mean, he's proven it so far this season. The last two games, he's been out of the lineup in concussion protocol, and the Hawks are still producing offensively without him. I think he's only got 14 points or something this year.
We don't want Buffalo to know that, though. We don't want Buffalo to know that.
Buffalo doesn't know anything anyways, man. Even if they do know that. We've seen how good their franchise has been in the past 10 years. Trust me, I let my boss know every day. But
Dylan Strome is really good. Dylan Strome is really good.
Yep. We'll just say that he's good, and Buffalo.
But continue your point. Continue your point. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
All right, you're good. So my point, I would rather go draft picks because, I mean, if you give up a guy like Brandon Hagel or like Kurashev, I mean, they've both been very promising signs for the future this season. Mm-hmm. And to give up one of those guys for just Taylor Hall, which potentially Taylor Hall's going to be a UFA, right, at the end of the season. Yeah. So he might not even re-sign in Chicago. And Chicago might, if Taze comes back next year, we probably won't even have the cap to re-sign him anyways. No,
exactly.
So to give up one of those guys that have looked like really good in their rookie years just to have a chance at Taylor Hall maybe playing, 20 games at the end of the season? And who knows, maybe he goes elsewhere. I mean, it'd be nice if he re-signed, but I just don't think the Hawks will have the money to re-sign him if they do get him. So I would rather Dylan Strome maybe and like a second rounder or something, because Buffalo is just going to want to get something for him before he leaves, if he's going to leave. Just throw like Dylan Strome or like a second rounder, and if Buffalo doesn't want that, then we just keep the lineup we have. I mean, it's not like we're going to be pushing for a cup run this year. I mean, even if we're a playoff team, it's not like we're going to be a perennial cup contender. And I'd rather not give up assets like Hagel or Kurashev just to have a guy that's, I mean, we're still going to be borderline playoff team, even with Hall in the lineup. So, yeah. I mean, just, I don't know. I think it'd be a steep price to give up if you're going to want to give up Hagel or Kurashev. And if Buffalo doesn't jump at draft picks and Dylan Strome, like I said earlier, I don't really care if Dylan Strome goes, whatever. He hasn't did shit this season anyways. But, I'd be more comfortable giving up draft picks if we were to go that route to try to acquire Hall. But in the long term, I don't think it's going to work out anyways. So I just don't want one of those guys to get included in a deal for, like, Taylor Hall and then have one of those guys turn into TiVo Teravainen and just take off in Buffalo if we did do that deal. So,
yeah.
Well, it's got shades of that trade coming back to me and just,
Well, speaking of Tavo, I mean, there were also rumors that I think it was an anonymous rival scout or rival executive told Mark Lazarus that they think the Blackhawks should trade Dominik Kubalik now when his value is highest. because they, you know, he's older and they don't think that he may fit with this core because of his age. But I mean, in my mind, I'm like, why the fuck would you do that? I know, I see you thinking about it. I see you thinking about a Dylan Terry, but think about it a little bit more. We do not want to be giving up another Artemi Panarin, another Teuvo Teravainen. Dominic Kubalik is the real deal. He is a 30 goal scorer. And I think if he plays in the top six, then he has the room to succeed. And he's only 25. I mean, it's not like this core is like we've seen what this core is now. And we see what we have in these young rookies. I understand. Like I would probably agree with you there. My Taylor Hall to Chicago thought definitely includes knowing Taylor Hall will not re-sign in Chicago, not because maybe he doesn't like it here, but because we don't have the cap space for him. Unless, of course, we can keep Brent Seabrook's long-term IR.
And who knows if Taves will come back too.
If Taves comes back, that's okay.
If he's on LTIR, that frees up another $10.5 million. You could probably make the numbers work to re-sign Hall if Taves is out next year too.
Yeah. But this is assuming Taves is back. This is assuming that Andrew Shaw and Brent Seabrook are still out, which they make up about $10 million.
$11 million
there. So that would be enough to re-sign Hall, but those are a lot of ifs that are going to happen. And we know how much Brent Seabrook wants to come back. We're not sure what Andrew Shaw's deal is. My hope is that he prioritizes his health as always. That is always my top priority. My hope is that he prioritizes his health, but, in this scenario, Taylor Hall probably won't re-sign. It would just be fun to see, how far this team could go. And, they're playing. You can do a lot in the momentum with momentum, right? Playoffs are all about momentum. It's all about you can pull upsets, very surprising upsets. If Kevin Lankinen continues to play the way he's playing, if the defense can play average, and if we add a guy like Taylor Hall, whose offensive prowess can just further elevate what this team has already shown in the offensive end, I think we've got a pretty good dark horse chance to make a pretty significant run. Assuming we don't have to play Tampa Bay right off the bat. But even if we did, they won't have Kucherov, so
he'll be back for playoffs.
You think so?
Yeah, they said he's going to be back in the playoffs.
Yep. Shit.
And they got Stamkos back too, and he's clicking too. So.
Yeah, well, Stamkos always gets injured anyway, so he might break a leg. Sorry.
I was going to go back to your point on trading Dominic Kubalik. That kind of got my gears turning too. I mean, he is 25 years old, so I guess that's a couple years older than the majority of the core. The thing why I would hold on to him at the end of his current deal, he's got a 2-year deal worth $3.7 million right now. Mm-hmm. He's going to be an RFA at the end of that year.
Yep.
At the end of that deal. So, I mean, the Hawks basically have control over him, which is a nice kind of a luxury to have on a guy we've seen how good of a producer he is. And he's got one of the best shots in the whole entire league. I mean, like you said, predominantly a top six forward. Jesus, I can't talk today, dude. Until I've been out of the groove here for the last week.
You're good.
But yeah, he's a top six forward on any team in the league, pretty much. Yeah. So, I mean, plus you have RFA rights, so you can pretty much, you're not going to lose him for nothing, per se. So that's why I would hang on to him and probably, like, if it was a scenario at the end of this 2-year deal and he was in a UFA, sure, trade him now, get something for him when his value is at his peak. But the fact that he's an RFA and you're pretty much going to have control of what to do with him, like I said, that's a nice luxury to have. And that's for that reason, I would probably just hang on to him.
Yeah, No, absolutely. 100% hold on to Dominik Kubalik. For the love of God, do not trade him.
He's only like 2 years older than the rest of the guys, too. I mean, Pius Suter is 24, Hagel's 22, DeBrincat's 23. So, I mean, he's only 2 years older than all those guys. Yeah. So it's not like there's a big age gap there. Like if he was like 28 or 29, maybe. But
Exactly. Don't do it. Just friggin' hold on to your assets for once. For God's sake, do not trade Dominik Kubalik. But hey, there's also another consideration that we got to think about. The Seattle expansion draft is this summer. Maybe we could convince them to take on Calvin DeHaan's $4.55 million cap hit. And hey, there's another reason why we should maybe go after Taylor Hall this summer or this trade deadline, because, you know, maybe we could re-sign him. Maybe there is room to sign Taylor Hall to a contract here. I mean, how good would that look if we had Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, and I mean, Alex DeBrincat would be up there, obviously. Kirby Dach would be on that second line, probably slot Hall in there with Dominik Kubalik. And then you got Kurashev, Suter, and Janmark or Hagel. And then you got that.
Crazy.
Oh, dude.
Have a top line of like DeBrincat, Toews, Kane, and then a second line of Hall, Kirby, and Kubalik, dude. Oh my God.
Dude.
That would be
Think
nuts.
About it, man. Top power play unit. We'd have Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Alex DeBrincat, Adam Boqvist, Taylor Hall. And then a second would be, that doesn't even include Dominik Kubalik, man.
I know, dude. That'd be deadly.
He'd be on the second power play unit with Kirby Dach, Pius Suter, Philip Kurashev, Duncan Keith. Oh my God. Like, it would be amazing if we could pull it off. If we could pull it off.
Right? I think the more amazing part would be if, rather than having Seattle take Calvin DeHaan, I mean, that is a big contract, if they could take Nikita Zadorov.
Well, Zadorov, we'll just let him walk. We'll just trade him for a bag of pucks. He's an arbitration eligible RFA. We'll trade him for a fucking pylon. I don't care.
Exactly.
Just release him. Release him.
I'd rather have Seattle take him than have to deal with him being an RFA and re-sign in for like $4 million. That would just
I'd
rather get his $4 million off the books rather than DeHaan. DeHaan's at least good at blocking shots. I think DeHaan's like right up near the league lead in hits and blocks, I think, this year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a valuable defender. Right.
I picked him up in fantasy simply because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely a valuable defenseman, but I would simply trade him because he'll be 30 by the time by the time next season rolls around. You know, he's 4.55. That's a little high for a guy of Calvin DeHaan's statistical value. And we've got guys coming up. Right, we've got Boden needing to play. He would take Zadorov's spot, obviously. But you know, we've also got Lucas Carlson in the wing. Who else do we have? Alec Regula, Wyatt Kalinick. You know, we've got guys in the system who could step in and take over for Zadorov and for DeHaan. So, we'd probably re-sign Connor. I'd like to see us re-sign Connor Murphy. As long as it's, under the at or under $4 million, he's making 3.85 right now.
I'd say give him $4 million at max.
Yeah. But like, you could shop for a bargain sixth defender. If you got rid of DeHaan and gave, Boden minutes there with Boqvist and then Keith and Mitchell on the top. And then, just protect whoever, sixth guy you bring in with Connor Murphy there, right? So it's a lot to think about, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I'd like to see Taylor Hall in a Chicago Blackhawks jersey in a couple of weeks here, maybe in a month. That'd be fun. But of course, this is all to say that's assuming we're still in a playoff position after our month of death coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough stretch, dude. My buddy on our other podcast I just started up there, he's a Tampa Bay fan, and Can't wait to hear it from him the next time record this week.
Well, we got three upcoming.
If these games go as I expect them to, the Hawks probably getting demolished. But I mean, the Hawks have surprised me so far this season, so maybe they can do it once again. But
yeah, we are a very different team than the one when we first started the season against Tampa, right? Like we haven't
tankings.
Yeah, we haven't played them since the first two games of the season. We got them three in a row at home, back to back tomorrow night and Friday night, and then again on Sunday night. So, you know, the boys are riding high. You know, Kaner just got off his 400th career goal. I would have liked to see us spread those seven goals that we scored on Detroit over the next few games here. But you know, hopefully beating the Red Wings 7-2, you know, got the boys going here. So, three games upcoming against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And we're on a 5-game win streak.
Just let's not get into that. Don't look too far into the details. Just know that Dylan Strome is really good. And Taylor Hall needs to be a Chicago Blackhawk by the end of the trade deadline here. So three games upcoming. Dylan, Terry, you got anything else you want to say before we sign off here?
No, dude. If people want to read a little bit more about the Dylan Strome trading idea, I think I'm going to be writing an article either today or tomorrow. Probably throw it up on the Blackhawk Up website if you guys want to check it out.
Nice.
That was an idea I actually had yesterday. So, I mean, I was toying around with Dylan Strome trade ideas yesterday because I think I heard it in a – I read it somewhere, I think, or heard something about it. So I was floating around with the idea of posting an article today or tomorrow on my off days from at least one of my jobs. So I'll have the time to throw an article up. And then talking about it today just kind of solidified it even more and – I think he was ranked, I think, number 7 on the trade deadline, like,
list
targets, I guess, or something I read somewhere.
I think I read that, too. Like, they're not – Bowman obviously isn't shopping him actively, but he's not, like, hanging up the phone if someone's calling him.
Especially, he's out with concussion right now. So, I mean, the Hawks aren't even using him right now anyways, and they're still producing. Yeah. So –
yeah. I think at this point in his career, we know what type of player Dylan Strome is in our organization, AKA he's very good. Kevin Adams, pick up the phone, call Stan Bowman. He's a very, very good player. You want to give us Taylor Hall for Dylan Strome. One for one, even if that's, you know, we'd be happy with that. look out for Dylan Terry's article on Blackhawk Up. Send me that link too, and I'll post it on the Twitter page as well.
Will do, man. So yeah, I'm probably like 99.9% sure I'm gonna post that article in the next upcoming days. So stay tuned.
Sounds good. All right, well, we will catch you guys on — what day is it today? Thursday. We'll catch you on Sunday. Today is Wednesday, so we'll catch you on Sunday. You'll be listening to it on Monday. Hopefully the next time we speak, the Hawks will have won back-to-back games against the Tampa Bay Lightning. if not, I mean, we'll just talk about it. So we'll talk to you guys then, and we'll see you soon. Signing off. Let's go, Hawks.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.